We are back again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today we're going to continue this study of Abraham and the way that he entertained strangers and why God did not keep from Abraham his intention of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Now we'll read the text. And the text is found in Genesis chapter 18. And we're going to look at verses 16 through 19. Where it says, "The men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And Jehovah said, Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Seeing Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Jehovah, to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now in just a moment, we are going to turn and look at the notes that E.A. Elam wrote to use this in the Sunday school lesson for the Sunday schools of May the 16th, 1926. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at Elam's notes on the text that we just read. These men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. They were going to this city. Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Thus he showed further his kindness. Jehovah said, since Abraham was to become a great nation and would command his children and household after him that all these promises might be fulfilled, he would not hide from him his intention to destroy Sodom. This shows that God did not arbitrarily bless Abraham and curse his enemies. Abraham believed God, obeyed God, and taught his children and his household after him to obey God. Had Abraham not done this, God could not have blessed him. And had his children not obeyed God, he could not have been blessed. He could not have blessed them. God does not arbitrarily bless or curse people, neither then nor today. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth into his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. In due season, all will reap what they sow. See Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. When people love God, and that is, obey him and work according to his directions for the accomplishment of his purposes, he overrules things for their good in time, and especially in eternity. If they do not do this, they bring upon themselves the fearful consequences of disobedience. Now that's the end of this lesson. But just after this, there's a little section in our little Sunday school book called After Lessons. Let's look at some of these after lessons. While the lesson given ends with verse 19, let us learn something from the remainder of this chapter. While the men went on to Sodom, Abraham stood yet before Jehovah. He not only stood, but drew near. He was greatly concerned. He loved Lot still, and he loved righteousness. He approached Jehovah in a most humble and reverent manner. Jehovah was in person before him, but he also drew near in heart. We should draw near to God. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." In Hebrews 10 and verse 22 we read, let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our body washed with pure water. Jehovah did not hide these things from Abraham because of Abraham's life and character, and because of his life and character, he enjoyed this privilege, and of thus approaching Jehovah. And Abraham asked, "Wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked?" Abraham was pleading for Lot, who Peter says was righteous, 2 Peter 2 and verse 7. "And for all the righteous, and for all the righteous in Sodom." By this question, he means that the Lord will not destroy the righteous with the wicked, and since that is true, he has some foundation upon which to base his petition. The men gather grapes of thorns means they do not gather grapes of thorns. So the question in verse 25, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" means that he will do right. Abraham, understanding that fact, could pray in faith and hope. God will not slay the righteous with the wicked. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. God's judgments are righteous, and he will render to every man according to his works, Romans 2, 4 through 11. He will judge the world in righteousness through Jesus Christ, Acts 17 and verse 31. But God is the judge, and not man. We do not see men as he sees them, and we do not judge according to his standard. The destruction of Sodom and the flood from which righteous Noah and his family were saved are used in the scriptures to typify the final destruction of the wicked in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in 1 Peter chapter 3, and not such calamities as cyclones, epidemics, or misfortunes. God soon answered Abraham's prayer. He was more anxious than Abraham to save Sodom. God never destroys a city or a nation so long as there is hope of its recovery. When there is no hope, and it becomes necessary for the good of mankind, in mercy, he destroys it. A city falls because it is not fit to stand. A nation is overthrown because it is not fit to live. God would not destroy the city for 50 righteous persons, because if so many were found, there would be some hope of saving others. The righteous are the salt of the earth, and God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God knew the condition of Sodom, but he led Abraham on step by step in humility, earnestness, and importunity. Abraham felt more and more his unworthiness as he drew nearer to Jehovah, and for this Jehovah was willing to hear him. But dust and ashes is a figure to illustrate Abraham's sense of unworthiness and complete prostration in humility. Everything in the scripture goes to show that when men are in earnest and seek great favors of God, they humble and prostrate themselves before him. Abraham was encouraged in every petition by the grace of God to proceed further. If God found 45, even 40 righteous persons there, he would not destroy the city. As Abraham's arose higher in faith and hope, he saw more of God's mercy and goodness, yet he would not offend Jehovah by presumption. If Jehovah would permit, he would speak further. Even for 30 righteous persons, God would spare Sodom, or for 20. Then if Jehovah would permit him to make another request, he would speak but once more. Even for 10, Jehovah would spare the city. How wicked that city is, in which only 3 can be found worthy to be called righteous. Even then, the 3 were not destroyed with the wicked. It seems, too, that Abraham did not see how God could destroy a city, and save the righteous, although there be so few. Peter explains that God knows how to do that in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. God answered Abraham's prayer and did more than he dared ask. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. We are impressed with a great contrast between Abraham's prayer and Lot's prayer that's found in Genesis 19. Abraham prayed for others, while Lot prayed for himself. Genesis 19 gives an account of Lot's entertaining the angels and the destruction of Sodom and Lot's escape. In a former lesson, we have noted the most serious troubles into which Lot's selfish choice led him, that which he thought in blinding selfishness would enhance his fortune, only served to destroy it. The unselfish, generous uncle still flourishes in peace, while Lot, with the loss of flocks, herbs, green pastures, home, wife, and all save two daughters, was dragged out of Sodom by the angel. Remember Lot's wife. Now that's where the after lessons come to a close. And at the very end of this Sunday school lesson, we have this rhyme. May every soul that touches mine, be it the slightest contact, get therefrom some good, some little grace, one kindly thought, one aspiration yet unfelt, one bit of courage for the darkening sky, one gleam of faith to brave the thickening ills of life, one glimpse of brighter skies beyond the gathering mist, to make this life worthwhile, and heaven a surer heritage. I turn the page in our little Sunday school book, and we see that our next lesson is about Isaac and his wells. The lesson text is Genesis chapter 26. Verses 12 through 25. And Isaac sowed in the land, and found in the same year 100-fold, and Jehovah blessed him. And the man waxed great, and grew more and more, until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks, and possession of herds, and great households. And the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed, and encamped in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar strove with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. And they digged another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and said, For now Jehovah hath made room for us, and we are fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And Jehovah appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed forever for Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called on the name of Jehovah, and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants digged there a well. Come back to class tomorrow, and we'll learn what we can from this text.